What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast number 204, Erasti, from a patient's perspective. This week, our guest is Dr. Charles Phelps. He is the treating doctor that I visited that treated me as a patient of Erasti. So we're going to just kind of talk about my experience and then some of the ways that we can use this in the athletic training room, some of the ways we can build this relationship moving forward. I'm your host, Jeremy Jackson. Sitting right beside me, we've got
Ariana,
Diana,
Nelly,
Daniela,
Tiana,
and Tiana. All right, if you want to join the conversation, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com using hashtag DSMB. That's where Diana is looking on Twitter. So if you got questions there, or this episode will be sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Erasti, which is AIRROSTI. And then as we go through the episode, that'll make a little bit more sense because we'll explain why it's called that. So links are there on the website. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Erasti. And then we previously spoke with Erasti at SWATA, which was episode number 185. So you can look at an episode number 185 and check that out. All right. So Dr. Phelps, why don't you tell us what is Erasti?
All right. Well, first, thank you guys for having me today. It's quite a facility you guys got. This is awesome.
Thanks.
So Erasti is a group of healthcare providers that focuses on the conservative management of musculoskeletal injuries. So basically head to toe, if it's hurting and it's not completely broken or torn, we're able to help with it. And we get most people resolved with an average of 3.2 visits.
All right. So what does Erasti actually stand for? So help them to remember that.
Sure. Yep. So Erasti is an acronym, Applied Integration for Rapid Recovery of Soft Tissue Injuries. Kind of a mouthful, so we just go with Erasti. Most important aspects of that are rapid recovery, so we get things better quickly. Kind of alluded to that 3.2 visit average. That's based on patient-reported outcomes. And then soft tissue injuries, so we're dealing with muscles, ligaments, tendons, and other myofascial tissue.
Okay. That'll work. So, Erasti, Applied Integration for the Rapid Recovery of Soft Tissue Injuries.
Yes, sir.
So, that's where you'll find this episode. At SWATA, they came up and said, hey, you know, we'd like to talk to you. It was Ryan Pratt and Amy Davila. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll see. Because, to be honest, like, when I walked by the booth, I saw KT tape. And I was like, oh, great. Here we go.
Here we go again.
Here we go.
Bunch of weirdos.
And so I was a little hesitant, but I was like, you know what? The only way I can learn is by having the conversation. So we did. And then they extended the offer and saying, hey, you know, as an athletic trainer, we'd like to treat you for free so you can see what we do. And so I took it. I was like, okay, well, let me try it. Let me go for it and see. And then they scheduled me. The process was real easy. They just said, okay, well, what about this day? All right, good. I'm in. I got a reminder email and a phone call saying, hey, you got your appointment coming up. Just making sure you haven't any questions. Here's what to expect and that kind of thing. So, that's pretty much like the beforehand. So it wasn't like a whole bunch of forms I had to fill out or anything like that. It was, for me, it was really simple to just go there and do that. Then when I met with Dr. Frint, He was there for a couple of weeks before he transferred to a new location and Dr. Phelps took over. And so he kind of explained, here is what Erasti is, here's what we're going to do. And then we went through a couple of tests just to say, all right, he said, where's it hurting? And we went through the range of motion patterns. And then he did some of the soft tissue work. We went to the other room and then we did the exercises. So, Dr. Phelps, talk about some of the soft tissue work that you guys normally do.
Sure, definitely. Well, every visit with Erasti is an hour, and we split that into 30 minutes of our hands-on tissue work and 30 minutes of active rehab, corrective exercises, stretches, strengthening type things. The actual manual therapy is a specific targeted, we're using our thumbs and basically working to treat restricted fascial tissue. Fascia is a dense connective tissue that covers all of your individual muscle fibers, muscles themselves, groups of muscles, gives them their shape and kind of allows them to function as individual muscles by sliding back and forth. And the thing about fascia is it's got a very poor blood supply. And so if it is injured or becomes restricted, adhesions develop as a result of, you know, anything from poor posture, chronic repetitive strain, all the way up through to a traumatic injury. You injure a muscle, it's got a great blood supply, it'll heal quickly. You break a bone, that'll, you know, cast it for 6 weeks and you're pretty much good to go. That fascia relies on mechanical input in order to stay hydrated as well as to maintain that normal functionality. And so that's what we're doing, is using our exam to kind of identify restricted areas and then applying this manual therapy to those areas in order to restore that function.
All right. So in my visit, it was quite an eye opener, or I guess maybe even a shocker, is to the pain that is caused by the work. So, let's see, Daniela, you ever had a massage?
Massage?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right. So when they did the massage, did they press hard?
No.
No, it was more of a relaxing,
yeah,
kind of enjoyable.
Yeah.
All right. How about Ariana, have you ever had any sort of massage? Maybe even your friend massaging your shoulders, that kind of thing?
Yeah, my mom once did that to me.
Well, did she press really hard, really deep? Or was it just like kind of relaxing?
Yeah, it did hurt at first.
Just at first?
Yeah.
All right, so the this is not in any way an enjoyable massage. Like, it hurts. Have you ever had people screaming?
You hear just about every different reaction known to man. It's not the most pleasant treatment in the world, for sure. But
all right, so I know when I was there, like, you said, man, you must be just a really quiet sufferer, because it was really hurting, but I wasn't really saying anything, because, like, I understand the value of what you're doing, but it is some really intense pressure. So you're digging in, you're kind of applying pressure to the fascia to help it release these adhesions to allow the muscles to slide freely along each other, is what I'm understanding. And so then we continue to work. But one of the strange things is, like, I had low back problems. Well, then we worked a lot on calf and hamstring and quads and hip flexors. So talk about that. Why did we work on those things instead of just where I was hurting?
Sure. Well, a lot of times pain is manifest in, you know, it's an indicator of a problem, but it's a pretty poor indicator of where that problem is. And in our history, we were talking with you and we kind of identified that you have to sit for extended periods of time in kind of a hunched over or slumped posture. Your knees are flexed all the way up to your chest here in the uncomfortable sort of bleacher seats and that kind of thing. And through that chronic repetitive posture, your body's actually adapting to that position. So your hip flexors have become very tight and very overactive. And then it's kind of starts to play tug of war with your pelvis and your lower back muscles. Then you go to get up and you're fighting against yourself. And because you've adapted so well to being in that sort of flexed posture, so we have to get in there and we're going to loosen up or lengthen those tissues that are tight and restricted. And then one of the better ways to keep that from coming back is to then work on strengthening those tissues that are then maybe lengthened or inhibited or not doing what they're supposed to be doing, which in the case of anybody that has to sit for extended periods of time is pretty typically the glutes and the core musculature. So your back starts to hurt because your back is overworked and your hip flexors are tight because they're in that shortened position for extended periods of time. I think it's a good time to point out, too, that normal, healthy, happy muscle and fascia and connective tissue really shouldn't hurt to compression. So, sure, we're pushing fairly hard, but anybody that's done any sort of foam roller or other sort of mobility tools, you'll notice there are certain spots that are pretty miserable, and there are other spots that really aren't bad at all. And that sort of overactive or adhered or just sort of cranky tissue there are the areas that are most restricted and need some of that work to be done the most.
All right, Tiana, have you used the foam roller at all?
Yeah.
For what?
Whenever we used it in class.
All right. That's right. Yeah, so we were using it on like the quads and the hamstrings. So when you were using the foam roller, was it very comfortable? Did it bother you at all?
It didn't hurt the hamstrings, but it hurt right here in front.
On the quads?
Yeah.
All right. And so after you used the foam roller, did you feel like that helped? Like, you felt better afterwards?
yeah, like when you're doing it, it feels real tense and hard, but like after you do it, the muscle just feels more relaxed.
Okay. So that's essentially what he was doing there with his hands. It's just the pressure is a lot more direct and intense. And then afterwards we went over, like you said, to the room and started doing exercises. So using the foam roller, I don't know that I ever used it before I started going to Arasti. Now we use it every day. I wrote a grant and got a couple of foam rollers here, and they got a dozen of them over in the weight room now. And we'll talk about how you came over and didn't let a class in a little bit. But so after you did all what is it called? Where you're pressing down?
It's the myofascial release.
There you go. I was thinking active release, but that's not the right word. The myofascial release. Then we went over, we stood up, did a check to say, okay, well, how are you feeling now? So I did the same, bend over, touch my toes, side bends, rotating and leaning back. I did those same exercises and like, oh, okay, well, I feel better now. Or if I'm like, no, it doesn't feel any better. You're like, okay, well, let's do just a little bit more, kind of expand the area, and keep working, you know, work up the back and the butt. And some of those were really intense, and we did some, one of the things you did, and I need to learn how to do, is checking the firing pattern of the glute.
Yeah, absolutely.
So talk about that for a little bit.
Sure. So as part of our exam, I'm a big fan of doing some manual muscle testing for different muscles to make sure that they're engaging properly. And what we did in Jeremy's case is a lot of times if those hip flexors are overactive, they're going to be inhibiting their antagonist, which would be the glutes. It's basically like walking around all day with your bicep bent and then asking that tricep to go ahead and be able to fire at full length, and it's just not going to go. Same thing happens with the hips. And basically what we'll do is essentially I just drop Jeremy's leg down off the table into a position of full hip extension, which is sort of the end range for your glutes, and then by trying to lift up and have him meet my pressure, we can find out whether or not he's able to activate that muscle properly. And by taking a muscle to its end range of motion, that's a good test for firing. And there are several other tests you can do too, which are kind of fun, using different sort of leg lifting patterns and things, but that one's kind of quick and dirty and seems to be real effective, as well as it's a great before and after test. So if we test and find out that, say, Jeremy's right glute's not firing when we would like it to, and then we go and release hip flexors, we test it again to see, okay, did it improve? And in his case, it did. It makes us look good. It's awesome.
All right, so how do I check the firing? Because even when you were doing the test, I was trying to, like, concentrate or feel, like, was one muscle tightening first or whatever, and I couldn't really tell myself. But what does it feel like or look like for you when you're testing that?
What it feels like for me is when I have the athlete or patient meet my pressure, they're able to and I'm not able to move their leg. And then you're also looking for visual compensation patterns, because if that muscle's not working, your body's going to try to find a way to make it work. So you'll see maybe they hold their breath, maybe they bear down, maybe they straighten their knee to try to recruit some quad a little bit, maybe they start making a fist or pushing into the table. And in a perfect world, because it's not a strength test, so I'm not trying to overpower the athlete, they'll maintain the starting position of that test. They'll be able to relax and breathe through the test, and they'll be able to meet my pressure without me being able to lift them off the table or without any sort of compensation.
Right. So that sounds pretty simple or understandable explanation now that I think about the whole process that I was going through. And that's because I remember you saying, you know, yeah, this one's a little slower to react than the other one. And I think there's also probably a learning process for me knowing what to do as far as knowing, okay, he's going to press up, or no, I need to keep it down. And so it's interesting to see, and I really need to learn to incorporate those type things in all of my evaluations, just as I'm learning, just don't treat anything as an individual. So, all right, so I stand up, I'm move around, I'm feeling better. So then we go over to the rehab room, and we begin with some of the foam roller stuff, and then we do the stuff with the lacrosse ball. So some of the things that we were doing, or the biggest thing that I even do, you know, I did today, because I was sitting in here doing a podcast this morning, and then now I'm sitting here again in that same position, was I was rolling for my quad, which is, I don't know, for me, one of the more enjoyable ones. Like, it's not like like my hamstrings, I don't really feel like they're is doing a whole lot whenever I use the roller.
Right. They're not usually too bad. Yeah.
But when the quads, I can always feel there's tightness there, and it's pretty easy to kind of stay in that plank type position. So I really enjoy rolling the quad if you can enjoy that. Right.
Right. Relative to some of them, like your IT bands and things that aren't as fun.
Yeah, that's definitely, that's definitely not any fun. All right. So when you taught me to do the roller, we said the foot position and toes in, straight, and out, right? So internally or internally rotated, neutral, and then externally rotated. Why do we do that?
So there's a couple of rules with your foam roller, and if you abide by those rules, then there's really not a lot of wrong ways. So as long as you're not compressing any nerve, you get no, you know, no sharp, weird shooting pain or tingling, and you're off a bone, there's really no wrong way. So we bias three different foot positions just in order to focus more on more of the inner part of your thigh. Neutral foot will get more right in the middle of the quad, and then as you start to turn your toes in, you're going to bias more the outer portion of the quad. So it's just a way of getting the entire muscle belly.
All right. And again, some of them are more intense, and it's really fun to see. Daniela, you have done this with your mom, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So did you talk about what you did, what I showed you and what you did?
Since my mom's having problems with her Achilles, we work on their hamstrings and our quads, and also what else?
Like, what else? We did the calf and the
calf.
Shin.
Yeah, and the shins.
Right. And so has she been doing that regularly?
Yeah.
Has it seemed to help at all?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, like a little, but a lot?
Yeah, a little.
A little bit?
Little by little, yeah.
All right. So obviously you didn't treat her, you didn't see her, but just knowing what we just said, that she's been doing the foam rolling, how often do you think she's doing it, Daniela?
She's been doing it in the mornings and at nights.
So probably two times a day?
Yeah. Okay. And then she's been icing down. Yeah.
All right. So Dr. Phelps, knowing that she's been having Achilles pain, again, just thoughts, right? Because you haven't treated her or seen her.
Sure.
And that's what she's been using the foam roller for. What are your thoughts there?
Well, that sounds like a pretty good place to start. I like that you guys are working all the way up the chain to not just focusing on that site of pain, but also working up, you said, through like the hamstrings and through that other stuff as well. So that's great. A lot of times, so as you're foam rolling over the course of, say, a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it might be, if it should get to a point that it's really not that uncomfortable, and then it becomes more of a maintenance type thing. So if she's still having stuff that continues to come back, it's usually because there's something somewhere else that's not working properly. Either those muscles that are manifesting as, ow, my Achilles hurts, probably because it's being, you know, potentially overloaded due to some different reason. So what I like to do with my evaluations is, okay, why is that thing being overloaded? Does it have something to do with footwear? Like, is she wearing really high heels and that's kind of irritating the thing? Other lifestyle factors? Or is her ankle range of motion restricted into, say, dorsiflexion? Like, if she can't do that, that's going to lead to compensation where the tibia is going to be tracking. Kind of, you can sort of start caving in with every step, and then that's going to lead to, you know, undue stress on that Achilles. Maybe she sits for a living, and then, you know, when she goes and gets up, you get that classic, oh, the glute's not firing, so you're gonna get that pattern of sort of valgus collapse, or basically just where your leg dives in and then your knee's gonna follow and then your shin's gonna follow, and then maybe that stress winds up at the Achilles. So there are a lot of different things that could be going on, but if it doesn't seem to be getting better, it's probably because there's an issue somewhere else where it's not working right.
Did you catch all that, Daniela?
Mm-hmm. Really, really long way of saying something somewhere else isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. So the Achilles is working too hard and it's complaining about it.
Yeah, it's probably from the shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. 4-inch heels, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
She does? She teaches Zumba in heels?
No. No, it's because the type of shoes that she wears is like she's been using like flat shoes. Like the Nike shoes or like other shoes, but she's been using the Skechers. You know how the little...
The walker ones?
Foam,
the ones that like roll?
No.
No.
It has like...
Huh? I don't know. Okay.
I don't know what it is.
Sometimes a lot of your shoes have a little bit of a heel lift. And if you transition to, say, a zero drop shoe or like a minimalist shoe, which is generally pretty cool. But if you haven't used it in, you know, 40 or 50 years, and then you go all of a sudden and ask your ankle to go through a full range of motion that it's not accustomed to, you're going to get a little bit of pushback sometimes.
So there's another idea for your mom, Danielle, is you can maybe have her change to a different pair of shoes for like 2 weeks. You can't just do it, say, oh, one day it doesn't, and then that's going to fix it. But so, all right, so we were talking about foam roller and the stuff that I did. And then also we did quite a few exercises. So some of them, let me see, we were doing, you know, we did stretching and foam rolling after we did the exercises. Talk about why that's important to do the myofascial release first, and then the foam rolling, and then the stretches.
Sure. Well, a lot of what we do is based on Davis' law, which is basically, it says, hey, soft tissue is going to adapt to whatever you do to it, right? So if we sit all day, we get really, really good at sitting. If you progressively strength train, you're going to get stronger, right? The way we like to split our visits up is we need to address mobility first, which is, you know, can a muscle contract and relax and express a full range of motion the way that it's supposed to. And we think that's kind of the most important thing. So we start everybody with foam rolling, which is a means of not only maintaining some of the tissue changes that we've made in the treatment, but also gives people a way to do some of that stuff on their own and keep what's tight loosened up. After that, we need to focus on some stability, or basically control of the muscles. Can we get the muscles to do what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it? And all the foam rolling in the world's all well and good, but that's not going to do that. So we need to incorporate some other exercises to really just make sure that there's enough strength in that area, and also that that soft tissue heals along the proper lines of stress, so we don't get those restrictions and adhesions coming back. So in the case of Jeremy here, we worked on hip flexors and quads, and we make sure that those areas stay loose with the foam roller. Then we have to follow that up with, we got to give him some exercises to make sure everything else is working right. It might be some core stability stuff. It might be some glute activation things. And they should be things that don't take a super long time, and things that, you know, they might take a little bit of maintenance. But once these things are working properly, hopefully that's going to prevent injury recurrence. And, you know, as long as we have some sort of functional outcome that we can measure to say, hey, yep, we did our job, or nope, we're not, we haven't done our job yet, we're not done, let's keep chipping away. That's kind of where the importance of those exercises comes in.
All right, and then so some of those exercises that I did, for some reason I was drawing a blank, but what I started off doing was like a simple glute bridge and then once that was easy, I went to a single leg glute bridge, and again, that's where you're laying on your back, your heels are pulled close to your butt, you squeeze your butt cheeks, tighten your abs, and you basically make a straight line from your shoulder to your knees in that position. So that's the double leg, and then the single leg is once you do that, then you just lift one leg off the ground. And so you're adding the rotary or instability component there. And then you could also do that with your foot on a exercise ball or on an AirX pad, just to increase the instability. I was also doing single leg deadlifts, because that increases the hamstring strength and the balance, and improves the neuromuscular function there. What else was I doing? Do you remember?
Oh, it's been a couple of months.
I know you taught me the Ober squat. That's the, or the bowler squat.
Bowler squat, bowler, yep. Squat. There so you go. Get sort of a little bit of single leg activation. You get some core in there. You get some balance training, and yep. I think we're really just all about finding the appropriate progression for whoever's in front of us. So if we've got a high-level athlete, their end-stage rehab is going to look a little bit different than grandma's, but with the same goal of, you know, does the exercise match the demands of what the person has to go through every day?
All right.
And you get some pretty cool stuff in there, too.
Yeah, and like I'm saying, throughout, I learned a good bit of stuff, and I don't feel like it's stuff that I shouldn't know, like something that's brand new, but it's just something that I've never been taught, so I wasn't comfortable using it or doing it. And so it was really enjoyable process for me overall, using the foam roller. Daniel, I think we have some questions there in the chat room, so look through those, and if it's something we can ask Dr. Phelps, and we'll pull those in. So then, you know, a couple of weeks, you said normally it's 3.2 visits, right?
Yep.
And I think I ended up going like 7 times, but I kind of had 2 issues. And then one thing I also noted was, And I remember telling you, it's like, yeah, I've been having a lot of back pain this week, but I also know that I haven't been doing my exercises this week. And so how important is it for the exercise routine? Like, is it supposed to, does it need to be daily or every other day, that kind of thing?
I'd say it sort of depends, as most things do, I guess. In the beginning, at least every day is good because we're trying to make lasting changes. We're trying to break habits and really make sure that the muscles and tissues that we're trying to change are changing. And then it's going to just depend on the person or the athlete's day-to-day stuff. So if you get an office worker that gets, say, headaches and neck pain, and they have to be stuck at a desk 10 hours a day, they're probably going to have to do more maintenance, say, than somebody that's, you know, there's an athlete who's got an acute injury that we then return them to, you know, they meet their full range of motion, they demonstrate full strength. Then those rehab exercises can become part of, say, a warm-up before activity or that kind of thing. But it just depends on what the demands of the person or the athlete are.
So again, it's important to follow instructions, as we tell our athletes. Have you been doing your exercises? No, you haven't. Oh, that's why your ankle still hurts. You haven't been coming in for treatment. Great idea, Jeremy. Follow the instructions. Now, you know, through this process, I've learned, you know, how to use a foam roller, the exercises to do. I've used some of the techniques to help relief. To do some of the myofascial release for some of my students, you know, they have a quad contusion or something like that. And I've even called you and said, hey, what do you think about this? And so it's been fun getting to know you and the process and Arasti. But you also, it's not just inside of the clinic. You guys work with CrossFit. You guys came out to the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society and kind of put on a clinic there, and we're helping with foam rolling. But you guys also, I know that you guys went to, Arasti went out to Katie Taylor High School, but you came out to our high school here at Pasadena and taught a class on foam rolling for our athletes, and we're looking to do that again with some of the other ones once we can work that into the schedule. Talk to me about some of the outreach stuff that Arasti is doing to improve mobility.
Sure. So we work pretty closely with CrossFit. I think we're actually an official sponsor for this year's games, and we are providers there too, which is kind of cool. But we go through and we'll do a lot of mobility or injury prevention classes, foam roller classes for all kinds of different, or really anybody that's interested in having one, we'll put on. But so we do high school athletics, a lot of CrossFits, fitness boot camps and gyms, and basically just providing a basic overview of foam rolling or mobility, or we can also tailor specific classes to meet the needs of whatever you guys are looking for. So if there's like a, you know, a general hip mobility class, we could do something like that. But yeah, anybody who's interested in that, that's something that we can facilitate. And we had a lot of fun when you guys brought me out, and I think we worked with the football team and got 40 or 50 athletes on a roller for the first time. It's a lot of fun hearing everybody kind of, oh, that hurts. And then, you know, we always, just like we do in the clinic, I like to retest things. So mm-hmm. Have everybody do a toe touch, roll out the lower body, do another toe touch, and we look for some improvement. And almost everybody does improve, which is kind of, it's a fun thing to see.
Well, Israel was asking for demonstrations. I'm wearing black pants, and our floor doesn't get mopped, so I'm not
fair
demoing
enough.
Anything
we'll
right
hold
now.
Hold off on that for.
But there's probably a great way to find out. Is there a website that Arasti has with some videos?
You know, I think we've got some resources on YouTube. We've got a ton of videos on our patient portal. So anybody, a lot of rehab exercises that I like to give out, that's one of the great resources, is patients have a little place where they can go in and see some of these exercise videos. I'm not sure if those are available to the public or if we've got some sort of demos on YouTube or something, but.
All right. So maybe if we get a little crazy or something, we'll do some demonstrations, but, foam roller, it's pretty easy to basically just get on it and figure it out. So
pretty much stay off the bones, stay off the nerves, and roll out what hurts for a couple of minutes.
And then you also gave me a lacrosse ball. And why did we use that instead?
Yeah, so we have a lot of different tools available. So I obviously use my thumbs. There are a lot of different manual therapy techniques that use different tools. As far as self myofascial release is concerned, Foam roller's great. Sometimes there are areas that you want to be a little more targeted or a little more specific or aggressive. You can use a hard rubber ball, lacrosse ball. If you need something a little less, maybe a tennis ball, that kind of thing. We use golf balls a lot on the bottom of the feet. There are all kinds of tools that you can spend hundreds of dollars on to do the same kind of thing. But really, they're just different implements that we can use to then go ahead and try to really work on those tissues. So it's just kind of a lot of different ways of accomplishing the same thing.
And then one of the things there with the lacrosse ball, I was doing rolling for my glute where you just kind of lean back against the wall. And that is a lot more comfortable than trying to sit on it. And maybe you can work your way up there. But sitting on the lacrosse ball would be pretty intense. And then also, if you put the lacrosse ball on a table and put it underneath your hamstring, then you can flex and extend your knee. And then that is making the hamstring work against that pressure. So why is that beneficial?
Again, it's just sort of a progression. It's a lot of different techniques. In the same way that with your strengthening exercises, maybe we took you from on the ground to standing up, from double leg to single leg. In the same sort of vein, when we're working on soft tissue, we'll go ahead and use more and more aggressive tools. So if you need to get a little bit deeper, we'll use a lacrosse ball versus a foam roller. That technique you were talking about where you sort of pin a muscle down and then stretch it through its range of motion, that's maybe a more aggressive version than just kind of statically holding on a spot. So there's a ton of different ways to do it, but it kind of comes back to those, the methods change as long as you stick with the principles. Then we just have a bunch of different tools in the toolbox.
Okay. So the kind of my outcome is, I would say from an average of probably 5 days a week of having back pain before going to Arasti, I would say an average of 1 day a week of having low back pain. And that may be because, like today, for an hour and a half, I sat in a chair and did a podcast this morning. Today, I'm sitting in a chair for, an hour or so doing the podcast, and I'm not really getting to go over to the weight room and work out, which is when I would normally do the foam rolling and stuff. But I did have a piece of PVC pipe at my house. It's the 3-inch PVC. It's only about, maybe 18 inches long. So it's not really long enough to do my legs comfortably, but it still works. So it was out in the dirt pile in the backyard. So I had to go scrub it off and all that other stuff so I could bring it in and not track dirt all over the house. But I've used that as well, because I don't have a foam roller at home, which it would be easy enough to get one, but I already had that. So kind of like you were talking about the progression, there's softer foam rollers. Like we have a white foam roller that's kind of soft, and then we have the black one that's a little bit harder, and then there's the PVC pipe. Do you guys use that often in the clinic, or is that only with the crazy CrossFitters?
You get a lot of CrossFitters will go ahead and move on to that. I don't have one in the clinic because if you're still coming to me for a clinical issue, chances are you're not going to be able to tolerate that level. But that's kind of the Rocky IV style where you go out and drag something in from the middle of nowhere and just kind of get after it. So I kind of like the improvised getting in there and getting after it. But that's definitely a goal to have, is progressing to something like that. If you can tolerate that and it becomes to a point that it's really not super painful, you're not torturing yourself with the thing, then, at least from a tissue quality standpoint, you're probably doing pretty well in those areas.
All right. And then let's talk about just some of the ways that, talk about the process. So if I wanted to send an athlete to you, what's that process going to look like?
Sure. Well, there are several different ways. We can actually, I've been meaning to facilitate this with you actually, but we have a little referral link where you can just put in the athlete's first and last name, birthday, phone number, and someone from our patient advocate team will actually contact the parents and look to get the athlete scheduled at the nearest location that's convenient for them, which in Pasadena would probably be me. There are 37 locations throughout Houston. And then working on getting you scheduled, and they'll go ahead and they can run insurance and all that stuff. Alternately, we have an 800 number that people can call. So if you wanted to recommend somebody go to Arasti and the parents are like, I don't know. I want to look into it. You can just give them a pamphlet and they can look into it and call our 1-800 number. We also have our website, which is www.arasti.com, A-I-R-R-O-S-T-I. And then if anybody has any questions, you can always email me directly too. It's Dr. C. Phelps, DrCPhelps at Arosti.com.
All right. I think it was John. He asked, how can someone get in touch if they would like for you guys to come out and do a demo? Is that best to call the 800 number or to go to Arosti and find their local provider? Because I think John's in Bloomfield. Is that Iowa? Iowa? He's somewhere northeast.
Okay.
So it's not like he's going to call you. So how does someone get in touch in general doing that?
That's a great question. I don't actually know offhand. That would probably be one of the regional coordinators for business development. So in the Houston area, we have Ryan Pratt and Sarah Salee. And then depending on kind of where he is, I would say the 1-800 number would probably be the best bet to get you started with that, something like that.
And just call him, say, hey, I'm John. I'm athletic trainer at Bloomfield High School. I am interested in having one of your doctors come out and put on a foam roller class or a mobility class for my athletes, for say my football athletes or for all of my athletes this one day. What can we do? And then they would work from there.
Yeah, they should be able to get that process started. They'll reach out to the proper, through the proper channels, finding out who that representative is in his area, and then trying to find a provider and get that process going.
All right, and then Israel wanted to ask about, talk a little bit more about the pin and stretch. So what are some other ways we can use that? What I did was I sat on, so if you're watching live, Phelps, can you scoot back a tiny bit?
Sure.
All right, so pretend that there's, switch it back to him. Pretend that there's a ball in your hand.
Sure.
So he's going to take this ball and he's going to put it underneath his leg, underneath his hamstring.
Yep. So if we were going to be working, say, high hamstring, maybe some sort of rehabilitation for like a high hamstring strain or something, you just take that ball and then find a hard surface, maybe a treatment table or like a plyometric box at the gym, something. And you're basically going to sit right on that lacrosse ball and get some appreciable pressure on there. And from that, you're going to just run your leg through flexion and extension. I don't know if you can see that. And you're basically pinning down that area that's tight or tender or restricted. And then by using some movement, you're kind of flossing through that. And there are some different areas where you can do similar things, where you'll pin down an area that's uncomfortable and then use some movement to stretch those things out. You can get a lot of areas of your rotator cuff. You can lay on a lacrosse ball with it right on the top of your shoulder blade in that that area where your supraspinatus lives, and then just taking your arm through a range of motion. That works out pretty well. You move down a little bit lower into the infraspinatus, and then with your arm at sort of 90 degrees, just running through internal and external rotation, that kind of thing. So you've got a lot of different options that are available to you there. Pretty much anywhere that's uncomfortable, as long as you're not directly on a bone, you're more than welcome to basically just put that ball on the belly of a muscle and then lengthen and shorten that muscle through its range of motion.
All right, so Israel, hope that answered your question. I misquoted. It was Melissa out in Richmond, Texas, wanted to know about a demo. So should be easy enough because there's plenty of you guys out here in Houston.
We should be able
there's
to facilitate that.
There's one out there in Katy,
yeah.
I believe, right?
Well, I'm sorry?
You have an Arosti place out in Katy, right?
We have several out that way. Yeah, right. So that should definitely be.
So get a hold of one of the people out there, Melissa, and then they'll set it up. Again, my whole interaction with Arosti has been positive. So if I've had a question or I said, hey, would you want to come speak on the podcast? Hey, would you want to come out? It's been quick interaction. Or like I ask you a question when I'm there. I was like, hey, what about this? You're like, I don't know, but let me send an email right now and find out. So I never felt in a feeling of inferiority, which, there's sometimes athletic trainers and chiropractors have a conflict. I never felt that with the Arosti as a whole. It was just kind of like a, hey, we're here to help. We're here as part of the team. And so, with you and both Dr. and Frant, both, I felt that you explained stuff to me. And if I was like, well, what do you mean? Are we talking about? Then you just explained it in a different way or whatever. And so you didn't in any way try to speak over me or down to me and that kind of stuff. So I personally had a very good experience.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad we were we're able to sort of develop that relationship. And Arosti in general, we look to just kind of be, you know, an asset for you guys. We want to be a tool in your toolbox to, you know, just help manage any sort of soft tissue injuries that you guys would like some additional work with. And I think we've got the advantage of spending an hour one-on-one with our athletes, whereas I know you guys are responsible for tons of different teams, and, you know, you guys get spread pretty thin. So, you know, any way we can help out, we're glad to do it.
All right, and I'm going to jump over here to back the chat room. The students just left. Tell me a little bit more about how what you're doing can be used in an athletic training room. Like, we've already talked about using the foam roller, using the pin and stretch. Maybe, I guess, how can we partner more to treat the same athlete?
Sure. Well, I think where our utility really comes in is, you know, if we can, like I said, that 3-4 visit resolution for a lot of things. If an athlete has a soft tissue injury and they're, you know, they're being treated in your athletic the treatment room with, say, you know, you've got your modalities, your ice, your exercise, that kind of thing, what we're able to do is really spend that hour one-on-one with the athlete trying to specifically tailor a treatment or rehab protocol based on the targeted soft tissue work that we do and the rehab exercises that'll really help meet the needs of that athlete. And I think more than anything, that just kind of takes a little bit of burden off of your staff because you are responsible for so many athletes.
All right. I know here Joanna Ruiz has a question. As far as ice and heat, do you have an opinion on those before, after, not at all?
We're pretty big advocates of the ice. I think that's the kind of the standard of care for most acute musculoskeletal conditions. And then anytime you're doing a lot of fairly aggressive tissue work as well, there can be a local inflammatory response that is, it can be favorable. You know, it's part of the tissue remodeling process, but, you know, we want to help manage that. So Arosti advocates ice.
All right. All right. Let's see. Sorry, I'm bouncing around trying to find everything. I think, what else you got for me? Arosti.
Good question. I think we pretty much, I think we covered kind of the nuts and bolts of it, sort of what the process looks like, how to get a hold of us, and hopefully moving forward, we can be a good asset for you guys and your training staff in terms of the management of some of these musculoskeletal injuries.
That's it right there. One thing, the KT tape, like you put that on me when I had it on my hamstring, you know, I don't know if I felt that it helped or hurt. Like, I was just kind of neutral about that. But I know when I put it on my back that it was actually, I had to take it off because it was itching. Like, I had red marks. I had a red H on my back afterwards. So talk just a little bit about the tape, when you would use it, why you use it, and then when you would not use it.
Sure. So we use the tape for three different sort of things. The kinesio tape is a stretchy cloth tape, so it stretches, I think it's up to 180% of its resting length. And that gives us a couple of pretty neat little qualities for it. So we'll use the tape to help manage pain in the same way that, so tactile feedback on your skin will help compete with pain signals in the same way that if you whack your thumb with a hammer, you shake it out, that mechanical input will help block pain. I think where the tape has the biggest value is when we're really helping to promote neuromuscular changes, so posture, positioning, firing patterns of muscle. The research shows that tactile feedback, so, you know, something actually touching your skin, is up to between 10 and 30 times more effective than like a verbal coaching. So if we've got an athlete that spends a lot of time at a computer or a desk and is really slouched over and we're trying to work on posture, we can actually tape those shoulder blades in a better position. And because the tape is stretchy, it's not going to restrict your movement, but you're going to get a lot of additional feedback there. And then the third thing that's really, really cool, if you want to Google this, you can get some really crazy images. The tape is really great for managing bruising. It improves lymphatic drainage by kind of lifting and decompressing the skin, and that's kind of a great way that we like to use it as well. Especially with our treatment, sometimes you'll get a little bit of bruising in that area, and that's a good way to manage that as well. When you would not use the tape is anyone that's got, obviously, any sort of allergy to any of the ingredients in the tape, of course. we've got a couple of different brands of tape that we carry, and I think some are, for whatever reason, some people have an issue with the dye or something, and it can get a little bit itchy. But for the most part, if you don't have any problem with a Band-Aid, then it shouldn't be too bad.
All right. Carlos asks, are there any red flags or contraindications to using Erosti other than, you know, stay off of the bones?
To using Erosti in general, or the what's the question?
Says, are there any red flags or contraindications to Erosti?
So yeah, there can be. So that's kind of on our initial exam, we try to make sure that the athlete or patient in front of us is going to be a good candidate for musculoskeletal care. So we would be ruling out any red flags. So acute inflammatory conditions like a rheumatoid arthritis that's in an acute phase flare up, a broken bone, of course, a full thickness tear or rupture, that sort of thing. I'm not a big fan of direct soft tissue work on a fresh contusion. Like, let's say an athlete takes a helmet to the thigh. You know, you don't want to do a ton of direct aggressive tissue work too early on, because you don't want to run the risk of, you know, some sort of, you know, ossification process going on in there. But that really falls on the training of the individual docs to, you know, if somebody's in front of us, it's on us to figure out whether or not they are a good candidate for that.
Okay. There's something I was just thinking. Nope. Well, I don't. All right, so you guys in the chat room, if you got some more questions, I'm going to talk to them for just a second. So one of the things that you're also doing is we have this mass CPR training coming up, and you guys are going to come out and just kind of be here to talk with kids about maybe the possibility of using Erosti as a treatment, and also the possibility of using chiropractic as a career, because we're introducing all the these kids to all these medical careers. So it's not just you're willing to come out and help teach them about the mobility, and, you know, you're willing to teach the athletic trainers how to do that and be part of our team, but you're also interested and invested in the students as a career and as a future. And so, again, some athletic trainers have problems with chiropractors, but none of my interaction has been negative with Erosti. And I'm very pleased to say I would encourage, and I have encouraged kids to go and see you guys there and at our local clinic. So good job.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate the endorsement. We're just here to help you guys, you know.
All right. Israel asking, what about if somebody has screws in their leg or metal plates or something like that? Is there something you need to avoid with the myofascial tissue work?
We're not going to go applying any sort of crazy direct pressure to an area that, you know, has some sort of hardware sticking out of it. But I've got several patients right now, actually, that will have some sort of internal fixation like that. And we, you know, you take it easy around the area where the hardware actually is. But a lot of post-surgical cases like that actually benefit quite a bit from some of the myofascial tissue, the myofascial release, both to maintain, you know, any sort of tissue mobility at or around the scarring area of the incision itself, as well as compensation patterns that may develop above and below as a result of either the injury or the surgical repair. So we take it easy around that area, but otherwise have some pretty good outcomes.
Yeah, so surgery is a good candidate as long as they're not like an acute swelling. To help,
exactly.
Help improve mobility.
Yep. I love to get my hands on people post-op as long as, I mean, obviously you stay away from the incision site while it's healing and all that kind of stuff, but definitely.
All right. All right. So Melissa, again, from Richmond, not John in there. She said she worked for a chiro for 2 years in Colorado and loved it, learning a lot about the spine and that kind of things. Really opened her eyes. So if you want to get a hold of Erosti, again, why don't you tell us that contact information again there, Dr. Phelps?
So you can get our 1-800 number is 1-800-404-6050. Our website is erosti.com, A-I-R-R-O-S-T-I.com. And then I'm happy to answer any questions or hopefully get you guys in the right direction with anything you guys are looking for. Feel free to email me at drcphelps@erosti.com.
And just to be sure, I'm not receiving any compensation for this. This isn't like a commercial. This is, they were there. They're there as a service, and I took them up, and I wanted to say, hey, this is what I thought. This is my review, and again, it's all been good. So, any other questions, comments about Erasti, definitely hit me up or Dr. Phelps. Absolutely. or your local Erasti person, and then that way you can get the kids out. You know, maybe that's even a good way for you to introduce yourself to them and say, hey, can you come talk to my kids? Then you can meet them, see what they do, see how they do there. Because foam rolling is pretty easy and pretty easy introduction. So definitely check out Erasti. I'm glad that you guys are here and you're here to be helpful and a part of our sports medicine team. So if my official hydration equipment sponsor of the sports medicine broadcast is Frio Hydration. Check them out. Get Frio at friohydration.com. That's where you'll receive a special deal for mentioning my name, and I'll receive after a certain number of you guys buy something from Robbie, then he'll give me something to give away to one of you guys. So if you're looking for hydration needs, water coolers, water dispensing systems for your athletes outside, then hit Robbie up at getfrio@friohydration.com and make sure you mention the sports medicine broadcast. And then sportshealth.com. Carlos is in the chat room. He just recently won the February gift card from School Health. So sportshealth.com/SMB. Hey, you can check it out, Dr. Phelps. Maybe you can win you a nice little gift card and get you some kinesio tape scissors or who knows, right, a bunch of lacrosse balls. sportshealth.com/SMB. And the March password is Bubba, because me and Bubba are going to be talking at SPATS. Izzy said Erasti came. I think he did a presentation at Valley Athletic Trainers Association or SPATS. What do you talk about? Erasti has helped out VADA several times. So the Valley Athletic Trainers Association, Rio Grande Valley, okay, South Texas. He said you guys have been down there a couple of times, and they really love doing that as well. So
awesome.
He speaks highly of Erasti as well. But anyways, they have put on a conference every summer, and I'm going to be presenting, doing the podcast from there this summer. And my website, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. This episode is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Erasti. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Erasti is where I'll have the notes and this episode posted eventually. So almost every Wednesday, except for during the month of March, we're doing one podcast every day during, or every school day, that we don't have some sort of standardized testing. PHS Sports Med, we have a great chat room going on. Doc Hale, Carlos Presas, Israel Montano. Israel, I think you log in with a different name each time, or different format. Katmar, Caliuzzi, John Seco, who's going to be one of my guests coming up. Joanna Ruiz, Blake George, Melissa, and Tiffany Kiza, all joining us live in the chat. Appreciate your comments, your questions, you being here, being part of the show. For Jeremy, Dr. Charles Phelps from Erasti, my sports medicine students, that is a wrap.